You guys turn your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Sure have enjoyed the this theme of the Son of Man. You know, really the... It's interesting because people want to... If people are looking for something to make accusations, they obviously don't have problems coming up with stuff, making stuff up, whatever. But you just think about this theme this week, the Son of Man. The entirety, really, of the gospel message has been preached. I mean, or will be by the time we're done this morning. In terms of, like, there's nothing that's left out. Nothing that wasn't put in there in terms of who Jesus is. The Scripture speaks, and when we speak as the Scripture speaks, the message is proclaimed. Amen. We don't want to be those who do cut and paste Christianity. We want to preach the full Word. And I'm just thankful for this theme this week. I think it's been. We've had a chance to see that. I want to put one other plug in. I've really enjoyed the emphasis, just as it's kind of come through on the kingdom. And I know it's been hit, and been hit beautifully, but I just want to remind us, guys, to open up our eyes, our spiritual eyes, and see the kingdom of God for what it is. It's the treasure hidden in the field. So valuable that they bought the field, not for the field. They bought the field for the treasure. Jesus bought the world, not for the world. He bought the world for the church. This is absolutely the most important. It's the only thing that lasts eternally. And I just, you know, when it comes to the peaks, what a great influence this has been and continues to be in my life and the life of my boys. And I remember my dad one time, at one point in time, I was a really good runner. I was a little guy, a national class runner, and I realized how national class I was. And we were all excited to go to this national track meet, and come to find out it was scheduled for the same weekend as the peaks. And we made a decision to go to the peaks. And I'm just really appreciative for that, because the things of this world, whatever they are, they come and go. But the kingdom. So if some of you guys might be into this, there's an old school newsboy song called Kingdom Man. The style of it wasn't always my favorite of the song, but man, it's a special song to me. Because the words of it, I'm a kingdom man, and Matthew sent me it sometime in this last year and just made me cry. You know, he said, Dad, thanks for teaching me to be a kingdom man. And things like the peaks and making it a priority, guys. I think it was Steve Compton who mentioned, you know, you can go camping and hiking, and no, that stuff isn't going to last. This kingdom lasts forever. And so we need to, you know, particularly second generation, third generation Christians, we need to see it for what it is. Value it for what it is, and recognize and encourage. Like, do you understand when a new Christian comes to one of these, their eyes are opened up. Like, there is something big going on. Every one of us brings a part of that. And I just want to encourage us, like, we need to keep that. And I think we need to crank it up a little bit in that regard. So let's do it. All right. Luke chapter 22. Oh, and one other thing. A guy named Rich Wallace from Billings, he was immersed into Christ about 4 years ago at family camp. So some of you might remember him. But he asked for prayers. He's found out this last week he has bile duct cancer and was going to go through a bunch more tests. But some pretty intense looking stuff. And he knows that the prayers of the saints and encouragement that he can get from anybody, he'll take them. So I just wanted to pass that on to you guys from Rich. Good guy, growing in the Lord. And I don't know enough to know what the Lord's plans are in that, but definitely he would appreciate you guys' prayers. All right, Luke chapter 22, beginning in verse 66. And when it was day, the council of elders of the people assembled, both chief priests and scribes, and they led him away to their council chamber, saying, "If you are the Christ, tell us." But he said to them, "If I tell you, you will not believe. And if I ask a question, you will not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God. And they all said, are you the Son of God then? I don't think that's the tone in which they said that. And he said to them, yes, I am. And they said, what further need do we have of testimony? For we have heard it ourselves from his own mouth. Let's pray. Lord, we do praise your great and glorious name. We are thankful, Father, for the kingdom. We're thankful for Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, the Son of God. Father, we're appreciative for that gate to heaven, the house, your house, Jesus Christ. We're appreciative for your word that does reveal yourself to us, Lord, in all of your glory. We're thankful for the saints, for the church, for the fellowship that we gain from each other as we walk on this road and as we fight in this intense spiritual battle. Lord, we do look forward to your return. May we see you as you are. I ask that you be with me as I preach your word today, that I would communicate it clearly. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, the other day, Julie and I had to take care of some things at the courthouse, and so she had a coupon for an oil change for $20, and we had a vehicle that needed an oil change. We going down there to the courthouse, it's down by there, and so we're going to take it down and get the oil change while we're doing our stuff at the courthouse, because if you guys know, you guys know the way you stay in line for hours, right, at the vehicle department. And I asked her for the address. She gave it to me. I was like, oh, I know where that is. Hey, that's the one on the corner there on 27th and 2nd. And I said, that's the one that has the mural with the Billings Central kids, you know, put stuff on there. I know exactly where that is. And so we headed there. And on the way, I see the Midas sign in the distance. And talking to Julie, I pull into the place. And roll down the windows, and there's three people. One guy starts talking to me and asks me what I want for oil change. Somebody starts, you know, washing the back window. Somebody starts working on the front. And I hand the guy the coupon. He's like, oh, we're not Midas. It's like, they're across the street. I'm like, ah, thank you for the windshield wash. Why did I go to the wrong place? I went to the wrong place. I had a predetermined place in my mind that I thought I was going. I went to the place that I thought of. And then I had little distractions. I'll blame Julie for her ability still to distract me after all these years. But the main thing was I knew in my mind already where I was going. I saw the sign as I'm headed from the distance. It never registered with me. It was across the street. Okay? That probably tells you a little something about the kind of person I am too. But, you know, I was thinking about that from a spiritual perspective. Fleshly man sees Jesus as a man. There are a few people that try to deny the historical life of Jesus Christ, but you can't do it in terms of evidence at all. So most people, they see Jesus as a man. You know, years ago, I don't even know how many years ago, the Passion of the Christ came out. But I worked out at a gym called Plaza Fitness. The owner there of the place tried to have spiritual conversations with him, and he wasn't biting too much. But when the Passion of the Christ came, he went to that. And afterwards, he told me, he said, Luke, I don't care who you are. He said, what that made an impression. He said, what that guy did, what he went through, absolutely amazing. And, you know, the point of that, Phil really did a good job. It's interesting. Phil preached a third of Mark's message. Well, Phil preached a third of mine. Mark preached a third of mine. So I got a third left. You guys will get a little review. 100%, right? 100% we're going to get there. But, you know, Phil brought out super thankful that fleshly man can begin to understand Jesus. You know, that old song, when I was growing up, he came down to our level. when we couldn't get up to his. I'm incredibly, incredibly thankful for that. And I would venture that anybody, if you're out working with non-believers, like, you're going to spend a lot of your time sharing Jesus in the flesh, because that's the level he came. Anybody can understand him there. But brother, for us who are in Christ, God's telling us we got to cross the street. We made it to the neighborhood. We saw the sign. We got the neighborhood. We got to cross the street. God has a lot more for his people. For the sake of time, I don't think I'll read this. You guys know 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The things that God has chosen to reveal to us, right through the Spirit. He's done all of this and closes that passage. We have the mind of Christ so we can understand God for who he is. So God has revealed these through his Spirit. The Son of Man, from our opening passage, he's seated at the right hand of God. It's really here that we start to figure out in reality that the Son of Man is the Son of God. I often wonder, I think Davis had the opening passage there from Nathaniel. I often wonder how Nathaniel jumped to the spot, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel. I don't think he fully at that point in time understood what he was saying. You can tell that's a work in progress there for all of the disciples. But Jesus on the throne is where we really see the Son of Man is the Son of God. Do you guys find it interesting that the council was able to make that connection? Oh, so you're claiming to be the Son of, you are the Son of God then. You know where that quotation comes from? Psalm 110, verse 1. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool. You guys remember a conversation Jesus had probably just a few weeks prior to that on this very thing? He decided to ask them a question. Actually, go with me to Matthew chapter 22. It's interesting, the trial, you know, I like what Jesus says. If I tell you, you won't believe me. If you ask you a question, you're not going to answer. Why is that? Because he told them before. He's asked them questions before. And there's a question that he had asked them back here in Matthew chapter 22, in beginning in verse 41. Now, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them a question saying, what do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? They said to him, the Son of David. He said to them, well, how does David in the Spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put thine enemies beneath thy feet. If David then calls him Lord, how is he his son? And no one was able to answer him a word, nor did anyone dare from that day on to ask him another question. This wasn't the first time that these guys had heard this. I don't think in the first place, before Jesus asked the question, they hadn't made the connection. But you think about that question Jesus asked them. Tell me about the Christ, whose son is he? Well, how does David in the Spirit call him Lord? A little cogitating there. Jesus is more than just a man, isn't he? So when he comes back to that, they ask him the question on trial, and he tells them, from now on, you're going to see the Son of Man. See it at the right hand of God. There, they made the connection. This is who you're saying you are, the Son of God. And Jesus helped them connect the dots. So, brethren, for all of us, excuse me, God is interested in getting us to move from the physical to the spiritual. Isn't that that's the greatest journey in my life? An ongoing one. Okay? To move us from the physical to the spiritual, from earth to heaven. Man, it's easy to get tugged back down here a little bit. And so the Lord's always lifting us up into that realm that lasts eternally, where we really are. From, you know, the journey from seeing Jesus only while he was in the flesh to seeing him as he is on the throne. You guys know 2 Corinthians 5:17, right? Therefore, if any man is in Christ, new creature, Old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. What's verse 16 say? Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh, even though we've known Christ according to the flesh. Thank you. Yet now we know him thus no longer. Those go together, don't they? Hey, there's a move here from the physical to the spiritual. Even though we've known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. All over the place in the scriptures, we find these sorts of things. My dad's always asked a great question. What happened on the other, when Jesus ascended, what happened on the other side of the cloud? A fleshly man doesn't, it's like that question doesn't even make sense. He wants to stop. What are you talking about? But isn't that where the Lord is pulling us? All of us? It's kind of interesting. Said Mark Miller preached one third of my message. He ruined my great illustration. So, thank you, Mark. But, you know, I do a little Bible reading plan. I've actually done the same plan. My mom was a good lady. And when I was 20 years old, she got me something called the one-year Bible. And you just flip through it every day and had a little bit of Old Testament, New Testament, Psalms, Proverbs in there every day. That I think those calendars that Bozeman puts out are based off of that reading plan. And now I got it on my phone. I've done it every year since I was 20 years old. It just works really good for me. And one of the things that I like to do is pray from the New Testament portion. Well, there are a few. I was in Acts chapter 27. And if you know Acts 27, the shipwreck, I just wasn't super motivated. It's like, there's not a lot of, I could make analogies. And So I went back to Psalms that day to pray. My reading from Psalms, and it just happened to be in Psalm 8. And Mark went through that with us last night. Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth, who's displayed your splendor above the heavens. And then you jump down, when I consider your heavens, dot, dot, dot. And then he goes on, and what is man that thou remembers him, or the son of man that thou art concerned about? I don't need to, Mark already hit that out of the park last night. That was a beautiful message. But I got to thinking that day, praying about that. The physical creation. And when that's being written, you've displayed your splendor above the heavens. When I consider your heavens, you know, the night sky is awesome. Being up here camping, I just like get away from Billings. You stay up late enough. Some of the kids were concerned that adults were going to bed way too early last night. But you stay up late enough. And you can see the night sky. It comes alive. You can see all those stars. Man, there's just something about the awesome presence of God, isn't there? Wow, it's amazing. And I was thinking about that. We can see that at that level and be in awe of him. But can you imagine Galileo? The first time he pointed that thing toward the heavens. It was one of the great moments in history, right? I mean, wow, just a whole nother world, blows your mind, whole nother world we had no idea about. And, you know, get out the Hubble telescope, take a look. I'm going to use an example from a message I heard from a guy who's a non-Christian. I don't know, maybe 50%, no. This guy not, but I was actually working on a friend of mine, hitting him on some stuff on immersion and salvation. We were on a trip together and he never did go for it. But he said, hey, I got a message. You want to listen to us? Sure. A guy named Louis Giglio. Any of you guys ever heard of the Louis Giglio? So I'm not endorsing him at all, but he had a message on, how great is our God, and not a true Christian. So I don't want to emphasizes, but I feel obligated to source where I got some of this information. But some of his points were amazing. And maybe some of you have seen the movie God of Wonders. Anybody seen the movie God of Wonders? It's great creation, just basic stuff, but to see how big God is. But here's some of that information. A light year is 5.88 trillion miles. The Milky Way has billions of stars, and there's what they've determined hundreds of billions of galaxies. But let's just talk about within the Milky Way for a second. Sun. The sun is 8 light minutes away. Aren't you glad for that? That thing comes up and 8 minutes later you're feeling the warmth, right? 8 light minutes away. You realize you can fit 960,000 Earths inside the sun. And then if Earth were a golf ball, in other words, another way of looking at this, if Earth were a golf ball, you'd fill a school bus with those golf balls. That's how big the sun is. And then you go, let's go up just another level. Betelgeuse, right? 427 light years away. It's 427 times what? 5.88 trillion miles. You know how many Earths could fit in Betelgeuse? 262 trillion Earths. If Earth were a golf ball, be like 6 Empire State Buildings on top of each other. Fill in that. Oh, and let's go one more. Canis Majoris. Big dog star, right? 7 quadrillion Earths fit into it. If Earth were a golf ball, fill Mount Everest. Guys, that's amazing. My mind can't just pew. But we can be out here camping and we can look into the sky as we see it and it's still amazing, and I can look at the splendor of God and say, he's what an awesome God. But then you show me that. Wow, our God is big. And all the other things that come from that, why would a God that big care about man? But I'm not preaching on that per se today. So I was thinking about that. What about this, you know, if that's true of the physical creation, what about the spiritual creation? You know, on the surface, hey, physical creation, I love those creation evolution stuff that shows DNA and all that. It's just amazing, right? But what about the new creation? It's kind of where I was going in my prayer that day. What about Jesus? When Jesus came to earth, he came down a couple of rungs on the ladder. Is the way somebody actually asked me a question this week in Bible study about what that Hebrews 2 passage was talking about. You know, if that was Jesus, and the translators don't give him a capital H in there, a couple of those verses. But you know, I use the example I heard my dad. Basically, Jesus came down a couple rungs on the ladder from God, down below angels, down to man. And, the way I was thinking about this, when we see Jesus in the flesh, it's like looking at the night sky when we're camping. Still awesome. Amazing. If you get anybody actually reading the Bible, reading the New Testament, reading the Gospels, I try to get people doing that. You study with them, you're showing them proof and all that, but you also get them reading, and people are like, who is this guy? This guy knows me. Like, super impressive. But, and that is the place we start with non-Christians, and it's still something for us to ponder and appreciate. Just because you've looked through a telescope doesn't mean you can't enjoy the night sky last night. Example, it's very practical to me that sun does happen to be 8 light minutes away. That has a very practical value in my life, and I'm thankful for that. That's something I can see without a telescope. It's very practical to me. It was brought out well already this week. But, you know, Jesus hanging on the cross, his body's in shock. Every excuse in the world that you could have to have a bad attitude. And people are taunting him and saying, and Jesus still, in general sense, Father, forgive him. They don't know what they're doing. He has the presence of mind to save the thief next to him. Somebody mentioned him taking care of his mom, making sure she was going to be taken care of. Like, and sometimes I struggle when I'm hangry. You know, it's a very practical thing, is what I'm saying, that Jesus is there. That's something that, as a Christian, I can am very thankful. I can identify with that. But guys, when we see into the realm of heaven in the spiritual sense, it's a whole nother world, isn't it? Blow your mind. The character of God, His power, His love, His mercy, His righteousness, His justice, all those great attributes of God are magnified billions of times over. And that's what God's working on with us, is He wants us to know Him. Saying, go ahead and look. Know me. And we can only fully know God when we see Jesus as He now is. Hebrews chapter 1. This Bible is a little harder to get around in outside the wind. Hebrews 1. Verse 3, talking about Jesus, He is the radiance of the Father's glory, the exact representation of His nature, and upholds all things by the word of His power. I just want to rapid fire this, because all of us got to go back and we're gonna dig in to know God. That's up to us personally, every one of us. We get to know God really as well as we want to know it. But just, I want to rapid fire a few things that we really can only understand fully with a vision of Jesus in glory. When our spiritual eyes are open and Jesus seeing Jesus as He is at the right hand of God. Jesus the Savior. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. Most people think of Jesus the Savior as what He did on the cross. And that was well brought out. I'm incredibly thankful for the sacrifice that was made. But just look at Hebrews 10. All sorts of places we could pick, but let's pick this one. Hebrews 10, verse 11. Every priest stands daily, ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But He, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time onward until His enemies be made a footstool for His feet. For by one offering He has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. You just read through the book of Hebrews and pay attention to two words: sacrifice and pay attention to offering. The offering is where the salvation is final. It's the offering where Jesus is Savior. And we know from Romans chapter 5, we are reconciled to God by Christ's death, but we're saved by His life, aren't we? That much more is in there. That's scriptural emphasis. Hebrews chapter 7. If you're still in Hebrews, I'm unintentionally already flipped away from there. Hebrews chapter 7. Verse 25. Hence also He is able to save forever those who draw near to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for Him. It's Jesus on the throne, particularly here in His role as high priest, but where He is the Savior. Does the denominational world even have a concept of that? Not for the most part that I see. You know, my friend Todd Cooper, some of you know Tyler, Tyler's dad, just recently went on to glory. And a super great friend of mine, and when the try hard not to be emotional, so I'm just going to speed through this part. But you know, one of the things I got to go see Todd right before he left this earth, and he asked me to read a few passages of scripture to him, and so I did. And one of them was Romans chapter 8, the last part of that. And let's actually turn there to Romans 8. Romans 8, beginning in verse 31. What then should we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus, he who died, yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. You know, at that point in time, Todd had a big oxygen mask on and you couldn't really understand him very well. He stopped me. He said, that is so powerful. Christ Jesus, he who died, yes, rather, who's raised, who's at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for me. Todd said, that's so powerful. It gives me confidence. Aren't you thankful, guys, that the Son of Man is seated at the right hand of God? The world talks about eternal security in a really messed up way. But that's eternal security for the Christian whose mind is set on things above. Jesus is king. We only fully see this with Jesus' resurrection, that's exaltation, don't we? I think this was mentioned. Jesus affirmed to Pilate that he was a king before his death. But it was only realized really through his ascension. Let's go back to Daniel chapter 7. Just because if you look at some of the corresponding passages, you'll see that Jesus brought in a little. Something from Daniel here as well. Daniel 7, verses 13 and 14. I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like a son of man was coming. And he came up to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him, and to him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom, that all the peoples, nations, and men of every language might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which will not pass away, and his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. You guys are super familiar with Acts chapter 2, but Acts chapter 2, verses 32 through 36, we all know 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. What was Peter just explaining? Peter had just been communicating that this is he who had been exalted to the right hand of God. It's Jesus' ascension. We're at the right hand of God, where he is the King of glory. Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you much, buddy. I think I'm okay. Appreciate it. Jesus the prophet. I actually, one of my Targeting Truth GPS early on, I had put a statement in there that Jesus just isn't a prophet, he's the prophet. Or I think I said Jesus' claim. He didn't claim just to be a prophet, he claimed to be the prophet. And somebody asked me, where does Jesus claim that? Well, if you're just looking at the words of red, you'd have a hard time finding that, right? But if you look at what's the words of black, Acts chapter 3 is pretty clear. He's the prophet. Hebrews 12 was mentioned. The one who warns from heaven. This is following his exaltation. So these are all like just highlight things that we're looking and we see. Jesus is Jehovah. Jesus is God. Psalm 24. Just trying to do a quick run through, guys. Psalm 24. Verses 7 through 10. Lift up your heads. I don't know how you guys are, but this is one of those. There's certain passages of the scripture. I read them and I get goosebumps. You know, Revelation 1 where I hold the keys of death and of hate. This is another one of those. I just, every time I read it. Okay, Psalm 24, 7. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, Jehovah, Yahweh, of hosts. He is the King of glory. I think most of us are familiar. Isaiah 6, John 12. These things Isaiah said because he saw Jesus' glory. And he spoke of him. Take a look in the telescope. Enjoy the splendor of God. Who he is and what he is doing. Largely on our behalf. I want one final illustration. I'm going to go to the extreme other end. Actually, I'll throw in another one here for free first. I read an interesting article, actually, on the Golden State Warriors. And, you know, the best basketball shooters in the world sometimes go into shooting slumps. And there's different, they just, in this article, talked about different things that various people try to do to overcome their shooting slumps. But the Golden State Warriors, one of the primary things they do, they go and watch film from a night they just lit it up. Just go at and just watch that, and it's all they got. It's putting in their mind. It makes sense to me. It's like, yeah, it makes perfect sense. Well, sometimes, brethren, it's possible as Christians for us to maybe get into a little bit of a slump, lose a little motivation, not fighting off the flesh the way that we should. Where are we going to go? How about go back and watch a little film that the Lord's given? Let's get in and take a look. You know, the question, I got one of these bracelets years ago, a gal gave to me, a lady I worked with. WWJD, what would Jesus do? Great question. My dad, that's the real question is, how did Jesus do what he did? I'm a Christian. I was raised. My parents became Christians a year before I was born. I was raised in this. I know right and wrong. I know what Jesus would do. It's always a good thing to ask in any given moment. But the challenge is, how do we do it? Here, Lord, just let me show you some film. How did Jesus do what he did? Where was he looking? We've just been going through John 17 on Wednesday nights in Billings recently. And man, Jesus' mindset. Going into the cross, his mindset, Mike brought it out. He wasn't looking backwards. He is looking up. And so for us, you know, for me, okay, the telescope, you look in that and you see that, but I'm going to bring it down the other end. Yep. Sometimes you got to get out the microscope. You ever remember the first time your kids get look in a microscope? Somebody show you, oh, you got to check this out. And you look in there, it's like, oh, yeah, I think I see it. All you see is the little fuzz things going by, right? Because you're not even. And then the first time you actually, like, you're not seeing it. And then the first time you actually see it, it's like, whoa, that's cool. Sometimes, guys, we just got to come back. We got to bring that thing back into focus, don't we? Get our mind set where it needs to be. See Jesus as he is. I really want to encourage us. You want to know God? We got to see that the Son of Man is the Son of God. We got to see the one who came in the flesh is the one on the throne. We got to keep looking. Keep looking from Daniel, right? Keep looking, the blind guy that Jesus heals in Mark chapter 8. There's a reason, guys, that I like to pray through the New Testament portion. And wherever you are, I started praying through Psalms years ago because it's a very natural, easy, relatively easy place for me to learn how to pray. Their prayers. I pray through the New Testament portion of the scripture because your mind's opened up to Jesus as he is. the New Testament from Acts forward is really telling us Jesus at the right hand of God. Matter of fact, just an example, Bible reading this morning, Romans chapter 7. That's the section I was in. We died to the law, joined to another. Who are we joined to? It tells us there, him who was raised from the dead. You know, my dad's asked the question before, taking some flack over the question, you know, which Jesus were you immersed into? Now, people can do weird stuff with that if they want, but the point is a scriptural point. We have been joined to him who's been raised from the dead. Who've been joined to him who is on the throne. It's in there all over the place, isn't it? Hey, oh, and today was even fun because Psalm 17 was my psalm section and the very last verse of Psalm 17. We'll turn there because I don't, off the top of my head here, don't know if I'm going to get it word for word. Psalm 17, 15. The beautiful thing is, Mark brought it out, like the prophets, it's all in there. And once you see it, you can see it everywhere. Psalm 17, verse 15, as for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness. I will be satisfied with your likeness when I awake. We behold his face in righteousness. He changes us to where we're made in his likeness when we awake. The scripture is just amazing. So I want to encourage you, brother. Hey, some of us somewhere, you know, this we're on our walk, and we still, honestly, our perspective of Jesus is very much limited to Jesus in the flesh. I am not minimizing that. Phil did a beautiful job. If you didn't catch that message, you need to go listen to that message. That is relevant for us, even as Christians, not just for the lost. Very practical. But, brethren, to be able to carry out what Jesus did in the flesh, our eyes have to be lifted up to see him as he is. You got to know what you're looking for to wind up at the right destination. Pull into the right place. And if God says, come across the street, let's come across the street. And when we look up to him, then we'll be like him. Our spirit, our inner man, is being transformed into his likeness. As we look up now, then we'll be ready for his return with great confidence. I want to encourage you today, look up and see Jesus, the Son of Man, seated on the throne at the right hand of God.